360fm.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor, hace calor.
A weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators: Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolas Cordero Ramirez. The World of Soccer. The World of Soccer.
Hello, how are you, Alison and Rudy? How is everything today?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, excellent. I'm okay. We're looking at the Spanish Fury. What happened last week? That all the teams from Germany and England, they disappeared from the UEFA Champions League. And it seems now that it's only one city where the soccer lives, Madrid, no?
Yeah, it's the best apparently right now in the world.
Do you think that, Rudy? Or
yeah, it's the first time that we have a UEFA Champions final on Madrid's team.
Yeah, the curious thing is that, for example, when I was watching both games, Real Madrid, Bayern in Madrid, and the last game in Bayern, I was very curious because, you know, the first game they won very hanging on the net, no? Like even Ronaldo was at the back. And in this game, I think Sergio Ramos was very motivated because the German goalkeeper was telling them that how Sergio Ramos could waste so many penalty shots, and that day he scored two header, no? So you think that one was great?
Yeah, of course. It's
awesome. Yeah, Sergio Ramos and then Cristiano just finishing.
Yeah, and the important thing for the Latin community is that two Spanish teams are going to play the UEFA Champions League, which could it be eventually something to see in the World Cup too, no? Like Spain will be coming again from their Phoenix flame, and I don't know. You see, which one is your
favorite for the final?
Yeah,
I'll go again underdog, Atletico, I think.
And you, Alisa?
Yeah, and also for the cup, for the BBUBA cup as well.
Yeah, it's very complex because Alison was mentioning about all the stats between Real Madrid, Atletico. And I don't know, you can explain a little bit more about what do you think is in favor of Real Madrid and what is in favor of Atletico?
Well, from what I've understood, a lot of people think that Real Madrid is going to take it 2-1 to Atletico, just because, I mean, when you have players like Benzema, Di Maria, Ronaldo, Bale, the amount of brilliance that comes out of the players in such big games is incredible. As well, the last two games Real Madrid has played against Atletico, they've won. So, I mean, this is also going to be a showstopper for the Champions League coming up.
Yeah, the only thing is that Atletico Madrid right now is far ahead of Real Madrid and Barcelona for La Liga.
That one
can be a boost, no? Because, for example, if you are a champion, the actual champion of the country, that one will boost you your confidence. Mm-hmm. Because you are right, when you start naming, if I'm a coach and you hear on the stadium the lineup, no? You say Casillas, Carvajal, Ramos, Contrao, Pepe, Xavi Alonso is not going to play, but Isco, Di Maria, Benzema, Bale, oh my goodness, I think I'm not going to say that I'm going to do something in my palm, but certainly it's not going to be so easy to play that one, no?
And Gareth Bale didn't play for the last one. Well, he was benched, but it was not like on the first game that he actually played a big role.
But I think Di Maria lately has been playing a great role in mm-hmm. Real Madrid, even though
he's really people
sometimes they criticize a lot him, but you know, he's supposed to be more in an attacking position, but he moved around the field in a way, mm-hmm. you know, not even
when he doesn't even have the ball, he's still making positive runs and exactly. opening players up and making good balls.
For example, one of the play, he was first in the right and then appeared in the left defending, and as soon as he recovered the ball, he started making a fast counterattack, and he ran passing Boateng and passing all the German. You cannot see that one so frequently from a South American player, no?
And we have to think that Bayern is definitely going to be the foundation for the German team in the World Cup.
You think, Alison, that the German player didn't want to play the script that Guardiola has for them?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, when Bayern played Real Madrid, the 4-0, it's... I mean, they had most of the possession in the game. It was just about that, actually, you know.
They never shoot.
If you don't shoot, you don't score. That's like 101 soccer. And I just feel bad for them because, I mean, like the possession was great, but...
68%, no?
Yeah.
And in both games, in Madrid yeah. and Munich, was about 73 and yeah. 68.
Yeah.
And it's supposed yeah. you have it, Rudy. Yeah. You're supposed to win if you shoot to the goal, no?
Yeah, they had the ball, but they didn't have the biggest chances.
Yeah.
And then at the end, for example, he changed a forward for forward, no? He entered Pizarro, and he get out Miller, and Mandzukic also went out, and certainly Mario Götze is a great player to have in the field. Why you don't have it from the beginning, I don't understand sometimes, no?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all tactical decisions from the coach, so...
It's not going to be a good year for tactical coaches. because, for example, if you see the other game, Mourinho is supposed to have the good hand, and they lost 3-1 in England, you know? You saw that game, Alison?
Bits and pieces.
You know Madrid, Atletico Madrid, I think, is like a big truck. You see those mining trucks? Uh-huh. That it come to you and it crashes. You don't know what to do. Because
yes.
it's not that they have too much technical, but the power that they have, I don't think any other team can sustain it that way the whole game.
The intensity, the momentum that they are playing, it's awesome. And what I think is like, remember that we announced that Diego Costa was injured and apparently like tentative to be out of the World Cup. The guy is a Superman. So he came back and just
but
like
we want to see that the same for other players like Colombian Falcao that he was operated a long time ago, but he doesn't know he's gonna go to the World Cup. We want to see the same for the England wheelchair. We want to see the same for Arturo Vidal from Chile that he's gonna get a surgery today. And it's not going to be easy because Chile depend on Vidal that just won the Serie A Scudetto with Juventus, no?
Correct. Also with a couple of eight there, like Carlos Tevez, which it was great. And by the way, apparently Carlos Tevez is not going to be called for the Argentina
Alejandro Sabella doesn't like him. Alejandro Sabella doesn't like, he prefers Pastore, Lavezzi, Messi. It's going to be a very technical midfield because Alejandro Sabella was a lefty player for River Plate that I play with an amazing skill, like you see in Messi, but with a finesse that you cannot imagine. But at this World Cup, it's going to be all about high intensity and power. It's not going to be also only about technique. And I think you mentioned last time, sometimes you get wrong when you get only technique, because today, you don't are up to 90 or 120 minutes, what are you going to do?
What I think is like the passion, it's started to be felt in even on video games. Like, remember that we are promoting also the Xbox, EA Sports. Mm-hmm. I got some statistics from the video game users. Mm-hmm. Cristiano Ronaldo is the one that tops. But before that, like a couple of weeks ago, Benzema was on top. So the preference on the players, and we would think like Neymar or Messi would be on there, but no, they are in the bottom. And then on the third is Mandzukic. So it's also the passion on the video games and also on the leagues. Like for instance, that now that we are talking about the Spanish league, the competition is so tight. Atletico is just 3 points ahead of Barcelona at this point. They have 88 points and Barcelona has 85. And that's because of the loss.
But it's two games to go, no?
Yeah, but there's still a slight chance for Barcelona. Because Levante just won to Atletico.
Look what happened in the English Premier League. Chelsea lost with Atletico. Then they lost with Cardiff, so they are not going to be champion. And look, Liverpool was supposed to be the champion this year. They were celebrating last week before the game with Chelsea.
And
Chelsea
tighter.
Defeat them in counter-attack, and now they are crying. Even the best player in England, selected by the press and also by their player, no, Luis Suarez, was crying when they tied 3-3 with Crystal Palace on midweek.
And the interesting part there is that actually they were winning 3-0.
Yeah.
Liverpool was winning 3-0, and they allowed a tie. So now on the Premier League, we have Liverpool 81 points, Man City 80 points, and Chelsea 79.
Yeah, but today Manchester City play best to Aston Villa. It's a tough game. I'm telling you, Manuel Pellegrini is my former classmate in May in the Chilean National Federation soccer coaching courses, and he has a statistic that are going to define if he's going to be champion. He's more in the minus side than in the plus side. It's terrible to say, because the way that it has been working in England is that at first Arsenal supposed to be the champion, then they went down. Then Chelsea was on top, they went back. Then Manchester City were there, they lose their physical fitness, and then Liverpool is supposed to finish great, and they couldn't. And you see that now it's up to the last game, mainly because Aston Villa today tied with Manchester City, still is going to be everything defined in the last game.
Yes.
Have you seen many competitions like that, Alison? That three teams are in all the leagues are trying to cash in the last game.
Well, you know what I mean. It's similar to the La Liga too, right? With Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico.
Exactly. It's the same kind of panorama, no?
Although Premier is tighter. Because, like, I would say, like, for La Liga in Spain, Real Madrid, we can count him out of the competition. So it's just going to be like Atletico or Barca. But in the Premier League, we have three teams that they could get it.
No, but at Chelsea already, Chelsea with the defeat with Cardiff is out of the question. It's only Liverpool and Manchester City.
Well, yeah.
And if today Manchester City tie, it's up to the last game. But it's still the goal different for Manchester City is too much for them to overcome. The other day when they were winning 3-0, the difference was from 7-4. So you can see that happen in the last game. But now, I don't know. English Premier League is going to be a different thing, no? I'm happy for my country mate, okay? He's a dedicated coach. As a player, he was a central defender with not so much to offer except power, every minute of the game, putting to the ball. He was not the most talented, but he was very organized. And as a coach, in all the countries that he has coached, Chile, Argentina, Spain, and now in England, he's very dedicated and organized, and that one is very important. You know, I imagine, Alison, that you have different kind of coach, and I imagine that the best that you want is the ones that organize your training, mm-hmm. motivate you great for what you're going to achieve, and keep you until the last game of the season motivated to be a champion, because,
exactly.
You know, sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes you see coaches that are they have a great organization, but they don't motivate the player to achieve something. No?
Well, I think it's all about the player and coach relationship as well. When a coach knows his players, then he's gonna be everything to them too as well.
Yeah, because you see, for example, in the case of Manchester City, Checo and Negredo are not my favorite, but Checo is scoring every game. And Checo will play the World Cup for Bosnia-Herzegovina, and he will make a mark. His last game scored 2 goals, the previous game another goal, when they need it. Mm-hmm. Because you see, Agüero is coming from many injuries, so he's not able to last the full game. But with Agüero in the field, something is different, no? Mm-hmm.
And you know, like when Yugoslavia was still United, Yugoslavia was one of the teams that historical teams in the World Cups. So now we have two teams in there:
Croatia
and Bosnia.
So I think Serbia.
both of them are just to be any team that plays them has to be careful.
Yeah,
they could be the dark horses as well, just like Belgium.
What do you think will define this World Cup, Alison? The technical side of the game, the physical, the tactical, the psychological? What is we'll see looking at the team, that the 32 teams that are there?
That's a good one. I think psychologically is going to be a big one. And I mean, player fitness as well. There's been so many injuries this year. And keeping it together is going to be a battle for a lot of some of the best players in the world.
You have been in a World Cup. So when you were in the World Cup, what do you see from the main team that were like a contender, like Colombia, Venezuela, all the mm-hmm. team that come to the last minute? Did you see the four aspects of the game, the technical, the physical, mm-hmm. the tactical, and the psychological, very strong, or you see one point that excel the other?
Well, you know what? Personally, from watching and playing against Colombia, whenever they had a timeout, the coach always had his, you know, pen and paper, you know, scrapping down what he wants from each player. I felt like each player had a role on the team, and they were very clear on what their role was.
So they knew what they were going to do.
They knew what they were going to do. They knew everything as soon as they stepped onto the court. And I mean, it's same like soccer. Like, you know, you practice, it's a performance, and the game is like the big performance at the end of a ballet, you know? Like I mean, you should go into a game knowing what you're going to do, knowing what you're going to accomplish, and having your game plan. When you don't have that as clear as it should be, I mean, you're only out for mistakes, for injury, for scrambling, and you know, like the best teams are the most consistent teams.
Yeah, and also the best team are also the most fitted one too. Okay, I think for me, I love technical stuff, but if you are not fit, you cannot have mm-hmm. technical, you cannot have tactical, you mm-hmm. are not even psychologically prepared to that. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the lessons that Atletico showed this year. As you said, Diego Costa recovered from something that is supposed to cut him from the World Cup, and coming back and make it happen. And then you have all those I told my brother, I said, look those track, how they run. You cannot stop that guy. There was the guy called Rodriguez in Atletico Madrid, no? And the guy ran, and you tried to put the shoulder contact to stop him. Even the Barcelona, they couldn't, because the guy put the shoulder. he sent all the guys as far away.
Flying.
Yeah, and you know, you want, it's not that the guy is only physical, it's technical, technically gifted. You see what he can accomplish, how he look at the other player, how he see his option, and he played the best option. And finally, I think when you interviewed Diana Matheson, I think she told you that being the son is something very important psychologically, you know? Like determine, even if it's not the full team, but at least main part of the team, 7-8 players that are concentrate to accomplish something. Yeah. And he can with that, no?
Yeah.
So what do you remember of that interview with Diana Matheson?
Well, she spoke about the zone training, how a lot of it, she was hooked up to a machine, and they were talking about the psychological aspects of it, and actually trying to train their brain to stay in the zone. It's almost like she said it was just as hard as physical training, except mental training. Training your mind to stay focused on things, to stay concentrated on the task at hand. And I find that it's really hard to do. And I mean, what she said, she liked it, and she thinks it's going to be one of the top ways, top players are going to train now.
Yeah, because, you know, for example, Rudy, in Eastern Europe, they used to do that one, the visualization that they do. Sometimes in North America or even in Latin America and Asia, they thought that one is BS, to say politely, okay? They said, no, how you can visualize that you're going to be a winner, but you have to. Because if you don't feel yourself to be the a champion aspect. When you enter, how could?
Like, for example, like for me, like before a game, a big game, I always take, you know, 20 minutes a day, maybe if a week before a big game, and I just sit there and think to myself, how am I going to make a difference on that field? I close my eyes, you know, I really try and picture myself how I'm going to receive a ball, how I'm going to play a ball, how I'm going to see the vision on the field, and how I'm going to finish. And for me, I can't even tell you how many goals I've actually scored, and it's actually come true. It's almost like I create my own deja vu.
Exactly. Yeah, and now that we're talking about Canadian players, that they are very young, like Diana Matheson, Karina LeBlanche, they are very young. And tomorrow we have the big game in Winnipeg.
Oh, my goodness, I'm gonna mean
yeah,
that.
So it's a rematch, Canada-US. So, but
you know,
now
you know, United States is not coming with Alex Morgan. Alex Morgan is not in the list. It's only Wambach and the Rooks. I don't know, in the last two games, they haven't been playing Alex Morgan, and Alex Morgan, for me, right now, is the top player in the world. There is must be a reason why they don't bring it, but still there is an edge that the United States has over Canada that I hope tomorrow they can bridge a little bit. But I think we have to listen Sarkis from San Paulo's.
Yeah, before
Before we continue.
Correct.
And a great comment, Alison. I know that when you are in a feeling of the World Cup, it's something that you have to feel in your skin, no? When you feel it, you listen to the old Canada and you are in the field. And you listen to Colombia national anthem, and then the 20,000 people in the stadium start roaring for Colombia. Oh, my goodness. I imagine that it's not something too easy to digest.
Maybe Alison can get an opportunity for playing on the Cup next year.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Maybe she will go to play in Italy professionally.
Hopefully
we don't know yet.
Yes, we don't know yet.
Okay, let's go with Sarkis. Sarkis, Portuñolo,
English. To the World Cup, now in iTunes, 360FM.ca, an international syndication. Ready for Brazil 2014 World Cup, the world of soccer. The world of soccer.
Vamos lá, gravar para a Rádio do Canadá, vamos lá.
Copa do Mundo FIFA Brasil 2014. Alô você, alô galera. Aqui quem fala é Sarkis Karamekian Júnior, diretamente de São Paulo, Brasil. Olha, faltando um pouquinho mais de 30 dias, um pouquinho mais de um mês para o início da grande Copa do Mundo Brasil 2014, hein? A provável lista de convocados para a seleção brasileira, olha, muito provável, será, na minha opinião, o Júlio César ainda como um goleiro, aliás, um bom goleiro, não? Os zagueiros, o Davi Luiz do Chelsea, o Dante do Bayern, Thiago Silva do PSG, prováveis laterais, o Daniel Alves do Barcelona, esse é certeza. Também o Marcelo do Real Madrid e o Rafinha do Bayern. Meio campo poderá ser muito bem formado por Luiz Gustavo, me corrigindo, do Wolfsburg, Paulinho do Tottenham, Fernandinho do Manchester City e o meio atacante Ramires e Oscar do Chelsea. E também Hulk do Zenit, Bernard do Shakhtar Donetsk e William do Chelsea, juntamente com Neymar do Barcelona. Muito provável, esta será a lista da seleção brasileira de futebol para a Copa Brasil 2014. Olha, fica aquela incógnita, não? Será que o Brasil irá amarelar como aconteceu em 1950 diante da seleção uruguaia? Olha, 1950 já passou mais de meio século e não podemos pegar isso como uma grande coisa que, e transformar como o bicho papão. Nada disso. A seleção brasileira tem um baita técnico, o grande Luiz Felipe Scolari, o Felipão, e temos a certeza sim de que o Brasil muito provável levará mais um título, o sexto título da seleção brasileira. Mas vamos sempre lembrar, várias e grandes seleções que estarão disputando também têm a chance de levar o título. Copa do Mundo, Brasil 2014. Falou Sarkis Karamekian Júnior, diretamente de São Paulo, Brasil, para o Mundo da Bola.
This is The Road to the World Cup, a weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics. The world of soccer. The world of soccer. This is The Road to the World Cup with 360 FM Radio and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network. Ready for Brazil 2014 World Cup. Juntos no mismo ritmo, juntos en un solo ritmo. The world of soccer. The world of
soccer. Chambers.
Sounds like Italian Vita, no?
Correct. And so, she's an amazing Canadian singer.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know why that song it was not in the CD that Ricky Martin selected.
She didn't connect
song,
to us
this song,
before.
This song, man, I'm a music journalist too, and I have discovered so many artists. When I heard that song, if I a radio programmer and I don't put it in rotation at least 80 times a day, I'm full, because that is a song that is a good one, better than the one that Pitbull and Jennifer Lopez they have. The reality, why are you going to say, look, I friend with Jennifer Lopez, but I have to tell the truth.
Correct. And you know what?
Like, and I'm friend with Ricky Martin. I'll tell you, I think he's a little wrong.
Yeah, we could have even connected her with Rodrigo Alexei that we interviewed Gator and me for that, and he's a singer for the World Cup. He's in the official album.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, you know, like these contests are like that, and we never know.
But Brazil is moving at a speed because they have been having those Brazil fan festival. So all the people go to the beaches with a ball.
Everywhere.
Oh my God. You cannot imagine how it's Brazil, man. You cannot imagine. It's something that people that are going to go there to watch the game and be for a month trying to realize what is that. If Brazil doesn't win, oh, you cannot imagine what is going to happen.
Although I can imagine how Italia is, because it was a very huge celebration in Italy with the Juventus championship, and they have plenty of games still to go, but they already overcome Roma,
yeah,
with 85 points,
uh-huh,
and Juventus 96. They already got the championship, the Scudetto.
Very, very, very far away, you know. Unfortunately, three teams that are Bologna, Livorno, and Catania go down to Serie B. Our friend Giuseppe Pecorile, he won't see Bari immediately in Serie A, but he's betting that he's going to get the team at the beginning of June. And we will have Palermo, Empoli in Serie A next year. And there is four teams that eventually will come. And one is very strange. Latina, Crotone, Lanciano, and Siena. Siena used to play, but the other one, no. And Juve Stabia is going down to Pro 1. And Entella is coming to Serie A. So there is going to be a lot of news, especially in a pyramid of play, in professional pyramid of play in Italy, that I have in total about 100 teams, professional teams. And we were talking with Alison about the professional women games, you know? What about playing in the Serie A or in the reserve or in the Serie B? And when you see those levels, especially from Serie A to Serie B to Liga Pro 1A, you still see a lot of great things. No? You are going to maybe go to Verona or what?
That would be nice, yeah.
Verona is one of the top teams in Serie A. Verona is in sixth place in Italy in Serie A, in men. And in professional women, you had Firenze, Verona, Cesena, and another one from where a couple of my friends play. They are women, no?
Uh-huh.
They are great league because they are not only have Italian players, they have players all over the world.
Or maybe we can ask our friend Giuseppe Pecorelli just to make a female team on the Vari.
We don't have
a deja vu on Vari.
Lemon captain.
He's buying Vari. So. And now that talking about Juve, just to close on that, Juan Guillermo Cuadrado, Colombian one, they are fighting for this guy. He's playing on Fiore, and now
Real Madrid, I think, is
Juve, Real Madrid, and even Barcelona, they are fighting for him.
Well, let's see what happens from here to next week. I think it was a nice show. So thank you for coming, Alison and Rudy. And we hope to have, we're going to be like a month from, next week is May the 13th. May the 13th is a month to the World Cup. So then we're going to start thinking only about all the list of the players, the coaches, the players that are not going to go, the surprises. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and maybe next week I would like to address also like a thing that I found out from República Deportiva Univision Deportes. They are running a contest on Miss World Cup.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll tell you next week.
What are you suggesting?
Well, because it's a huge event.
We can send Alison to that.
She'll win.
Why not?
Well, actually, when we were in Colombia, I got voted top three of hottest girls in the World Cup.
I remember when the Chilean delegation was in Toronto, no?
Yeah, no.
They made her to compete with Alexis Sanchez's girlfriend, no?
Yeah, and no wonder also David Luiz was fighting for, I want to get her to interview me, I want her.
But you know that Alison is like a magician with a lot of hat, no? She's a soccer player, a commentator, a fitness leader, but is also a model, you know that?
Yes.
She's a spokesperson for big firms in worldwide, okay?
Okay, so good luck to Canada tomorrow.
Okay,
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, ciao.
360FM.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor.
A weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators. Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolas Cordero Ramirez. The World of Soccer. The World of Soccer.